Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Luke chapter 15, and it was a while back I taught a little bit about this chapter, but I want us to look at something that is probably very familiar to most all of us in this room. Even if you haven't been around church a lot, you've heard terms like the prodigal son. And I want us to look at this passage where Jesus tells what the kingdom of heaven is like and how his Father in heaven is. And we know that if you were to look through this portion, we know that the key character and main message to this story has to do with the older brother. And we don't really get to him until the end of this story, this account that Jesus is talking about. And so the main point is kind of at the end, but along the way, there are multiple opportunities for you and I to grasp something and take another truth along with us besides just the main point of this story. And I'm going to take time and I'm going to read this morning. Luke 15, verse 11, and it says that Jesus was speaking and he said, "There was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And so he divided his property between the two of them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country where he was at. And he began a recognition that he was in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, because no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, or came to his senses, he said, 'My father's hired servants have more than enough bread to eat, but I perish here in this country with hunger. I will rise, I will go back to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And so he rose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. And his father felt compassion. And his father began to run and meet his son and embraced him and kissed him and said to him, and the son said to his father, 'I have sinned against heaven and before you.'" He began to say to his father that which he rehearsed. "I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked, "What do these things mean?" And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed a fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound." But the older brother became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him and pleaded with him and explained to him, "Look, these many years the older son answers back to the father, "Look, these many years I have served you. I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, and you killed a fattened calf for him, And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. The closing portion of that passage is a message predominantly to those of us who have been Christians for some time, believers who have served the Father in heaven, have been involved in ministry to people and ministry in His kingdom here on earth. And we have had someone come into the body or back into the body who maybe used to be here and went and kind of walked out into the world, did not serve the Lord with faithfulness, and they've squandered their life and their faith, and they came to their senses by the drawing of the Holy Spirit to return to God through faith in Jesus Christ, and they enter back into the family of God. And we sometimes look down on them as if they're not faithful. We look down on what they went and did, while we, in our self-righteousness, say we haven't disobeyed, we haven't gone and done that, and so now we're supposed to just celebrate and receive you back with open arms. The kingdom of heaven and the character of God is that we don't get self-righteous, and we allow the individual to answer to the Father and have relationship with the Father. Our part is we're supposed to celebrate that they've returned to the faith and returned to the body. That is in that closing portion of the story, because we know at the closing portion of any story is where the point is landed home. But along the way, there are some things in this story that we can draw from. We know it's titled The Prodigal Son, but the reality is that the message is about the attitude and the heart condition of the older brother, which has to do with maybe us as a church family and how do we respond to those who have repented over things, who are making their way back in faith. But I want to talk to you about another truth in there this morning. And it has to do with the younger brother. It has to do with the father. And we've heard this talked about. You know, the father is there looking and waiting and sees the son and receives him back. I want us to draw on this principle that we're supposed to work like servants but live in relationship with the Father like sons or daughters. So forgive me this morning if we go through this and I refer to all of us as sons. Please understand it's not a chauvinistic thing. Don't run out of here and say, oh, that pastor. If you want to do that, I mean, that's up to you, but that is not the intent this morning. It's just that the passage is talking about this. And so for me to continue to go through this morning and make sure, oh, okay, we want to mention everybody, it just burns up time. So let this one explanation just take the disclaimer, okay? You okay with that? Are you okay with that? I'm looking at you four ladies here. Are you okay with that? Yes? Okay. All right. Then I will take your approval and the rest of us will live with your decision. If any of us in here were to say we've never squandered God's grace and mercy in our life, we would be lying. There are times where we have squandered His grace and His mercy, just like this young son squandered his inheritance of his father's kindness and resource and provision. I want you to know that that doesn't make it acceptable what we have squandered. It just helps us with an understanding that we still have a loving Father, and I want you to hear this in the room this morning. This isn't about some sloppy grace, and it isn't without responsibility, but there's a time that hopefully comes in our life where we recognize where we have squandered His grace and mercy and have squandered His provision and resource in our life. Even for some of us, because this is a full gospel church, that we believe in the ministry of the Spirit, and He has outpoured His Spirit, where we have also squandered the provision and resource of His Holy Spirit in our life by not allowing the Holy Spirit not just to convict and us to obey, but even have grieved the Spirit to be free to move through our life like a person who is baptized with the power of Pentecost, like we should. And have squandered that power, forfeited its ministry, His ministry, through our lives. You see, when we start to look at things from the kingdom of heaven perspective, all of a sudden our self-righteousness dwindles away and we get humble and go, ouch, that fits me somewhere. And so we look at this son, and who comes to his senses out of need. The provision is gone. The resource is gone. And he recognizes, I know where I can go to be provided for. Only I'm not going to approach my father back home with the same arrogance that I approached him before with when I said, give me what is mine. Now I'm going back because I've grown up a little. I'm in need. And I can go back and say, Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. However, I would be willing to work in your fields and with your flock and whatever jobs you have. I will conduct myself like a faithful servant, an employee, because I need to eat. I need to be sustained. I need some kind of value and quality of life back in me. And so he goes back and begins to recite what he prepared. And it's as if the father did not hear the words. Did you pick that up? The son, oh, Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. I will be... And it just says the father calls for the best robe and the family ring and kill the fattened calf and invite all the people because we're going to have a party. I want you to know that we express ourselves in words to God, and it is important. But what he looks at is not are our words perfect. He looks at the heart. This father could see the heart of his youngest son. It wasn't just the words, oh, Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. He could look and he could see that in his heart there was a sincerity. There was an authenticity of his humility, his brokenness, his need, his showing respect, his showing honor. The transformation that he came to his senses. It cost him his earthly inheritance, but he came to his spiritual senses, which is a lot longer than just this life for us. And so this young son, it's interesting, he wants to make his way back. And though his heart was sincere, he wants to make it back through work. I want you to hear this. He wants to make his way back through work. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, but I will be a servant who will work. We admire that. I think it's a good quality. I think there's a measure of God quality in it. But when we look to work as our only way back, we eliminate grace. We eliminate mercy. And when we eliminate grace and mercy, I want you to, when we eliminate grace and mercy, and it's only on a work basis, this is what transpires. You can call him God and you can call him Father, but when you eliminate grace and mercy, you eliminate relationship. If it is work-based only, you eliminate relationship. Listen, he said, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Father-son relationship. He says, I will be a servant and work. If we could grasp these two values, that you and I would work in God's kingdom like servants, but live as sons. Live in relationship. How did the father respond? You're doggone right you're going to work. And I'll tell you another thing. You're not getting another cent because I gave you everything. The rest is your older brother. So guess what, boy? He's your boss now. So go get your orders from your sibling. It's not how the father responded. He said, my son is back home. You tell everybody to prepare for a celebration, and guess what? They get the night off, and they're going to eat, and we're going to celebrate, and we're going to play music, and we're going to dance as a celebration. My son is home. It didn't mean that he didn't have to work anymore. But the father wasn't concerned about you come back and pay. He was just concerned that you'd come back. That you could be in relationship. That you could be in close proximity. That the father could pour out upon this earnest need, this he could pour out on this earnest change. I mean, you got to get the rest of the party. I mean, the families and workers and all this news about the young son who took and squandered and lived somewhere else and now he's back. Come on, humanity's humanity. You know the talk around the barn. You know the talk out in the fields and the whispering in the rooms in the house when the father's not present. Yeah, we'll see how long he stays around this time. Oh, I bet you come payday, he's gone again. Now, that's the attitude of the older brother. The attitude of the father was very different. And the father is looking for his sons, daughters, to have relationship with him. Yes, work like servants, but this is the difference between the servants and the employees. Not only do you get to wear the family robe and wear the family ring and sleep in the main house in your own room, but you also get to enjoy the relationship with the Father. It's different. It's different. Listen, my son, okay, because he's my son, he's going to mess up. Because he comes from a family tree where they messed up. He's going to mess up. But he is not going to have to work his way back in to my good grace. He's just got to be sincere and have relationship with me. And out of that relationship, he will work because he is my son. What keeps the relationship? Grace. What keeps the relationship? Mercy. What keeps the relationship? Sincerity. What if I treated him like a servant? In my house, you know what that would be? He wouldn't call me dad, he'd be calling me pastor. Because he'd say, I don't know my dad. I only know my dad as the pastor. So around the house, I call him Pastor Randy. He does not call me Pastor Randy around my house. If he called me that, I would be so hurt and so offended. Because it would speak to me volumes that he does not see me as his dad. That somewhere along the line, there's a relationship that is broken. And it's work-based and it's performance-based. Listen, the son came back with the right attitude. But he cannot rely on work getting him back. It is like our salvation. Is it by our work? Or was it by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross? And through his grace, we put faith in him and have relationship with him. And out of this relationship with him, we know that we work. But it is not work that gets us there. And if the relationships in your life amongst your family or your closest friends have to do with work only, I want you to know, there's no relationship. It's defined by, you know, maybe your titles, but there's no relationship. When you add the measure of something personal that flows from within a person, like grace, like mercy, like love, communication, talk and listening, affection, now you have relationship. Tell you another thing. The servants, the employees, they only know the little bits of business that they have to do every day on their job. But friends, relationships, they hear from the head honcho. Relationships and friendships with that person, they know about the business. Jesus said it this way. He said, you're no longer servants, you're my friends. And I will share with you the business of the kingdom of my Father. You don't share that with just strangers, servants, employees. You share that with people you have relationship with. I've watched this happen in people's lives throughout the years of ministry. I saw it when I was younger, but I, you know, didn't have the maturity and understanding to define it and pick up on it. But I've watched Christians who base their relationship with God upon their work. And I'll tell you how you can define it if a person is doing that or not. You look at the relationships in their life. If it's based upon works, disappointments, performance, acceptance, rigidity, you can call them relationships. You can say it's father-daughter or whatever relationship you want to define. I'm telling you, there is no relationship there. You might live in the same house. You might call each other by an affectionate term. But in all reality, there's not relationship. You don't have relationship. And it's just work and it's performance. Even your devotions, even your prayers, it's about performance. I want you to know, chances are that the relationships in your life, they're not really relationships. Because there's no grace that flows. There's no mercy, kindness, affection. It's all work-based stuff. Sacrifice, do stuff for you. Now, I know that work and doing things for people is a display of love. But I want you to know, without the relationship behind it, it's empty. And if we carry that over into the youngest son's approach, that I will come and be your servant and I will just work, you can't do that with God. His response is, my son is back. The relationship is back. And work and serving each other will be part of it. It's not relationship and you can just sit on the porch and drink lemonade and just watch other people work. That is not honoring the Father. We work like servants, but we live like sons. Here's the other great benefit of being a son and being received. We get to take the Father's resource and distribute His resources like we think He sees fit. All His resources, think about His resources. We get to just give those things away. What about the resource of His love? We get to give love where it's needed. The resource of His grace, we get to give it away. The resource of His financial provisions, we get to bless, we get to meet needs, we get to help, we get to contribute, we get to do that. What about the resources of His Word and His wisdom? Because we are His sons, we have access to it. We have a relationship with Him, and we can give it away. We can bless. Because of the relationship with Him and the wisdom and resource of His Word and His character, we also know that we have restraint in our life, so we can sow to the Spirit, which is peace, right? And not so to the flesh, which is destruction. You see, this morning we sit in this room and maybe we feel a conviction of being like the older brother, but we need to deal with that attitude of, I've been around here and I've been saved, and why do the new people or the newly saved seem to get most of the attention? What about me? I've been here a while. And how come they don't sing my songs? And how come they don't blah, blah, blah? You're the older brother. And you can have a conversation with the Father like the older brother did, and you can sort things out between you and the Father. But there are some of us in this room who've been a little bit like the younger brother. And I want you to know that work is not going to get you back. And work is not going to win out. It is the relationship that we have through faith and God's grace and mercy. It brings us to relationship. And because of that relationship, we will work and we will serve. We will work like servants, but we will live like sons. I don't know what has happened in your life, where this concept of a father and a son has been damaged, or a father and a daughter, or whatever. I don't know where it's been damaged in your life. And I've had it pretty good with my earthly father. There were some times in the early years that my mother has made remarks that, Randy, to be as healthy as you are, I'm amazed. Because there were some rough years. But through the work of Christ, transformed my dad, sustained me, and those who grew up after me had it a little bit different. Praise the Lord. If you met my dad now, you'd have no idea who he was as a young man. Transformation, just like some of us in this room. Not the same guy. I was talking to Bill this morning back here. He said, man, when I was young, I was an outlaw. I was going to be dead or be in prison. Best thing that happened to me is I looked back and married this woman next to me. Boy, she straightened me out. He said he'd like to turn the clock back, though, because he just went to a 58-year reunion. Sorry, that kind of tells how young you are. I said, yeah, you've done some things different. Yeah, I said, faith in Christ would have probably been a little sooner in your life. Oh, yeah. See, a man who has gone through and is still going through transformation of a real faith. Bill, you're a good brother to me, and I like you. And I'm grateful that you're in this church. And I know you're not a perfect man yet, but neither am I. So we're in the same boat, brother. Not to embarrass you this morning, but I have an appreciation for you, and I like when you're here. And keep bringing that girlfriend of yours next. That's his wife. Don't go crazy. That's his wife. I just referred to it as his girlfriend. Listen, I don't know where things went wrong between you and a father, or you and a mother, whatever it is. But if you have been around the faith in a while, and faith in Christ, We are all called in our life, whatever we've gone through, to be changed. It sounds peculiar to say, I don't know how to have a relationship. That sounds peculiar to say that. Because how do you say that? How can you say that? And, you know, it sounds peculiar, but I'm going to tell you something. Over the years of ministry and sitting with so many different people through time, it's amazing. But it's like, I don't know how to have relationship. How do you answer that? Well, here's the book, and here's 5 steps to have a... If you will just receive the grace and the mercy and the kindness of the Father into your life, and if you will drop your guard, and if you will just put down the gloves and don't get defensive, and all of us need to do this, these things. But for the person who says, you know, it's just kind of work and performance based, or nothing was ever good enough, or I took it as they weren't interested in me because they never went to anything I did, or all my other siblings, well, they, you know, he liked them more, or whatever your story is, or I don't know my dad, and I didn't know my dad, didn't have that mentor, I didn't have that role model. There are some things genuinely that you are going to face, but I'm going to tell you this, that through faith in Christ, through receiving His grace, through receiving His mercy, and laying down the patterns that you and I have picked up over time, I want you to know that you can walk in relationship. You can still work like a servant, but live like a son with Him. And your relationships on the human level will begin to change. And it's not just about the relationship. Oh, so the relationships can change. It's about that when that relationship happens, there is a ministry of Christ that flows freely out of our life because it's not being held back by all of these inhibitions and things we have picked up over time to cope with through life that have caused us to have some deductive reasoning about how we're going to handle relationships and keep distances and keep barriers and do all these things. I'm going to tell you something. Relationships are face to face. You can do things through snail mail. You can do things through email. You can do things through texting. You can use all the social media you want. I get some of the benefits, not all of the benefits, because I just don't spend a lot of time there. Okay, and it's not that I'm righteous or holy. I just don't have a lot of that interest. Okay? I just don't. I'd rather be face-to-face or doing something. That's how I'm wired. You might be wired different, and I respect that. But I'm telling you that all of those 1,000 contacts that you have, all your 1,000 friends, listen, you're nuts. You can't maintain 1,000 friendships. Don't kid yourself. The ones you can maintain are the ones that you can touch. Now, I know that through long distance there are some you can maintain. And, hey, Pastor, you can touch through phone and you can touch. And I get that. I understand. I have some long distance friends. Okay? We text a little. We call once in a while. But I don't panic. You know, when I see him again, we pick up where we left off. Maybe that's a guy thing. I don't know. I don't know. We're not here to talk about that or judge that. I'm just telling you that there are relationships. Listen, when are we going to be free to have relationships with real people instead of being insulated by a lot of the technology and calling those relationships? Listen, if we will allow grace and mercy to flow from our Father, we can let it flow to other people, and we can put down the gloves, and now there's relationship and there is life. There's life. They threw a celebration. People came and ate and danced. How do you do an email party? Is there a Facebook party? I mean, I don't know. Maybe there is. I don't know. I mean, do they have those? Where everybody gets together and you can have a party. Potluck. You're only eating what you made. because you can't reach through the screen. Hey, I might go to one of those parties. You can't do that. There's still something about pressing the flesh. What I mean by that is making contact and shaking hands and looking eye to eye and being able to touch. A father has called us into relationship, and it comes by relationship with him and this grace and this mercy and this openness. It doesn't come by just going out and working. Do not nullify the work of the cross. There is only one who was righteous, and there's only one whose blood was worthy to pay for the forgiveness of our sins. These are some truths I want us to grasp out of this story. That we can work like servants, but we're to live like sons with him. And we're to live in relationship with him, and to live in relationship with each other. I know that that alone takes work. And I know that there's heartbreak involved. I know living with somebody is different than having a Facebook friend, because I had a few back when I would go on it 3 times a year. I know. Those are easy. All we do is get little snapshots of people. This is what I did. This is where I went. This is what I feel. How are you? Well, we get snapshots. That's easy to live with people when you get snapshots. It's the day in and day out where it's not snapshots, it's this continual life flow. That's hard. But that's real relationships. It's the constant relationship with God, not just checking in on Sunday, not just checking in on Christmas and Easter. Not just going to a wedding or a funeral and checking in. Those are snapshots. Father said, you're back. And get the robe and the ring. You're back. You're back. We're going to live together. Day after day. Night after night. And you're not a servant. You're my son.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.